Greetings from John Paul Jones Arena and welcome to the Virginia Athletics Podcast. I'm your host, Jeff White from VirginiaSports.com. UVA is currently in sixth place in the All Sports Directors Cup competition, in part because of the national championship that men's basketball won. But Virginia's swimming teams piled up points this winter, too. And my guest today is the man who oversees those two programs, Todd DeSorbo. Todd, great to have you back on the show.
Yeah, thank you. It's always a pleasure to be here.
So I see you're sporting some Final Four gear. Before we talk swimming, let's talk hoops for a second. You spent your first 3 years as an undergrad at the University of Kentucky, so you appreciate and have been around high-level basketball. What was it like kind of watching this run?
Yeah, it's been great, actually. And when I was at Kentucky, my freshman year and junior year, they won national championships as well. So I've been involved in that, but it's been 20 years. So it was fun to be a part of that. And, you know, we were, you know, everywhere I go at swimming competitions, everybody tells me congratulations for it. And I'm like, I didn't have a whole lot to do with that.
Yeah.
But so, you know, it's exciting. You know, I think it's great for the athletic department, the community, you know, even for recruiting for swimming and diving, you know, it's a little bit of a lull right now because our national championship ended the last week of March, right before the Final Four. And now, you know, a week later, we win the national title and we're in the headlines and we're all over social media. So every one of our recruits are seeing that. And so we're still in their eyes and you know, and in their minds. And it's huge.
Yeah, all of that stuff helps all our sports,
yeah.
I think, to some degree.
Absolutely.
Just when others do well.
Absolutely.
Okay, on to the main topic, which is swimming. The NCAA championships were held in Austin, Texas this year. The women went first and the men followed a week later. Both your teams, it's probably fair to say, exceeded expectations. The women placed sixth, their third best finish in program history, and the men were 10th, which is their best finish since 2011. You have never struck me as a sandbagger. When you've had a good team, you've said you've had a good team, but talking to you before these meets, I didn't get the feeling from you that you thought you were going to finish sixth and 10th.
No, absolutely not. I mean, obviously, you can hope for a finish like that, and I don't think anybody would have bet on that. I think we exceeded expectations last year as well, and you know, I guess it's fun to do that. I think in my mind, you know, what I said prior to those events, you know, was what I thought we could do. You know,
right.
I thought we could maybe match what we did last year on the women, which was
ninth,
yes. And then on the men, I thought the best we might be able to do would be top 15. And I would have been ecstatic with those finishes. The national championship for swimming and diving comes down to, you know, obviously performing at a high level, but even more so just making sure you don't mess up. Because a lot of programs put a lot into just getting to that competition. Mm-hmm. And then once they get there, they, you know, half the team is doing well and half the team is not. And, you know, if you have a full team effort and everybody is just doing their job and, you know, you can sneak in and finish a few spots higher than you might have hoped. So I think we did really well. I think part of it is a factor that some other teams just kind of crumbled a little bit. And I, you know, that's obviously the name of the game is not, you know,
right,
doing a good job and, you know, keeping things straight.
At the ACCs, your women finished second, your men were third. How much emphasis do you place on those meets, knowing that the NCAAs are still to come, and that's really the big prize?
Yeah. You know, we still put a pretty big emphasis on the ACC championships, and, you know, our ultimate goals are to place as high as we possibly can at NCAAs. Mm-hmm. You know, that's always going to be the priority. I would give up an ACC title to win a national title any day. You know, and I think anybody would. And so we put a bigger emphasis on NCAAs throughout the year and, you know, more from a mindset perspective, although we do go into ACCs and try to peak there. You know, we definitely put a lot into that. And, you know, obviously we would have liked to have won on the women's side this year, you know, but we definitely try to peak at ACCs. But I'm a believer that you can peak at both competitions. And just trying to peak at ACCs just gives us a lot of valuable information on our team. And then we can make adjustments and move forward from there and make sure that we're even better at NCAAs.
Are your two programs ahead of schedule? I mean, the women were good when you came in. The men had been in rebuilding. I think the men were on the way back up by the time you got here. Yeah. You know, they kind of bottomed out.
Right.
in historical terms at UVA and where it's climbing, and you inherited a young team and you knew they were going to be better in time, but
yep.
Would you have thought when you took over that this team would finish 10th, the men would finish 10th in your second year?
No. You know, our men historically have, they've done something pretty historic over the last two seasons, and I don't know this for sure, but and I'm almost certain that we're the first team in the history of the NCAA to go from scoring 0 points to being top 10 in two seasons.
Yeah, you went for, so no points in
2017,
then
29th.
Last season 29th, and then 10th.
And then top 10. I don't think any program in the history of NCAA has done that.
Right.
So we're a little bit ahead of schedule of where I would want to be. You know, we have a three-year, five-year kind of plan, and, you know, we're in our second season, and you know, kind of the a very lofty goal that I set for this program when I started here was to be top five in both programs by the third year. This year, you know, to progress to that, the goal for the men would have been to be top 15 and then progress to top five next year, which from 15 to five is a very significant jump. From 10 to five is even a significant jump. The same thing on the women. The goal would be to move into the top five by the third year. So, you know, the fact that we exceeded expectations this year, even from the onset of the season early on in August and September, it, you know, we're definitely ahead of where we, you know, had hoped to be and are setting ourselves up really well to accomplish being top five next year.
There are a number of sports here that have kind of the men's and women's version, soccer, lacrosse, basketball, but and track and field is probably like swimming and diving.
Sure.
Because they, but there's a different synergy between your two teams because they practice together, right? Or at mm-hmm. least they practice at the same time.
Oh, yeah.
Even if they don't always compete in postseason,
right.
They're a week apart. But so does one push the other? Is that a you yep. know a healthy dynamic if
oh,
one
yes.
is doing well?
Absolutely. Absolutely. We train 100% together. The men and women are in the water at the same time, doing the same things for the most part, until we get later in the season where our championships are staggered a little bit. But I think that, you know, it's a huge benefit to have a combined program and to have a combined program the way we run it, where they do everything together. So they're working hard together, and that really builds a camaraderie between both teams, not just the women and the men separately. They're very supportive of each other. They push each other. They hold each other accountable, you know, across genders. You know, it, you know, I think that's helped us to thrive the way we have. And there are a lot of programs around the country who do split their programs. They have mm-hmm. separate coaching staffs for the men and separate coaching staffs for the women. You know, I think we're one of four complete combined programs in the country to have both teams in the top 10. All the others are, you know, split programs.
Right.
You know, the a lot of the Pac, you know, Stanford and Cal, Texas, they're all split.
Let's talk, the women competed first in postseason, so let's talk about them first. This is not, I mean, it's an experienced team, but this is not a senior-driven team, was it?
No, not at all.
I mean, I'm going down the list of swimmers who performed well there, and Megan Maroney, redshirt junior, Morgan Hill, junior, freshman, is it Khaki?
Khaki.
Christensen, sophomores, Paige Madden, I mean, all down the line.
Oh, yeah.
How many seniors even competed of your, I think you had 14 swimmers, right?
We had 14 swimmers qualified, and two were seniors. So,
wow.
You know, it's we are a young team. And I, you know, and with the incoming freshman class we have this fall, you know, on paper, we potentially can be significantly better than we were.
Most of the swimmers I named, you know, were sensational in the regular season. They weren't really a surprise, but did anyone really outperform what you expected of her in Austin?
I would say, you know, Paige Madden was spectacular throughout
yeah.
the season, but I think she outperformed. You know, she dropped 7 seconds in the 500 free, which is unheard of, and to finish second. So that, you know, she exceeded the expectations there. You know, I think we had a couple of first years, Khaki Christensen and Alexis Wenger, who both finished top eight in their, you know, respective events. You know, I don't think 2 months prior to that we would have thought they were going to be able to do that. So, you know, we had a good bit of the women really step up. Emma Seiberlich,
mm-hmm.
you know, for her to come back in All-American, you know, was a step that we had hoped for her to take. Same with Abby Richter. She came home in All-American. That was a step we had hoped for her to take, but you never know. You know, so we had a good handful of the girls really just step up. And we, at the beginning of the season, we knew, if even if we were going to match last year and be top nine, we needed our, you know, rising second-year class to really step up. And you take a girl like Caroline Gamelic. She didn't even make our conference championship team as a first year last year and then made NCAAs. And she was on our, you know, it's a great story. She was on our 200 medley relay that finished in the top eight, and she had the fastest, she was the fastest leadoff 50 backstroker in the entire, you know, in the entire NCAA after not making the our conference championship team the year before. So we had a lot of that happen at all different levels.
You hear a lot about just the pressure at NCAAs and how it's just a different, you know, atmosphere than anything swimmers have encountered. You know, I know I've talked to swimmers here who describe how the first time they went there, they really struggled once they got that. So are there swimmers across the country, not just in Virginia, who do really well in the regular season, maybe their conference meets, but just can't handle the pressure?
Absolutely.
So until someone actually does it, you don't know for sure that they can do it, right?
And take Paige Madden, for example. You know, she won her freshman year. She won ACCs in a 200 backstroke, and then she went to NCAAs and didn't score at all.
Right.
And then she comes back this year and gets second at NCAA. So that experience is pretty significant. And it's significant from a coaching staff perspective, too, because we can figure the athletes out as well and figure out what's going to help them to be perform better the following year.
On the men's side, we mentioned 29th a year ago. You jump all the way up to 10th. You have more seniors in this group, Brendan Casey and Zach Fong to start with. Mm-hmm. But what was the key to this group?
You know, I think a lot like the women, well, it's a little bit different, I guess. Last year at NCAAs, we had a lot of almost scores. Zach Fong almost scored in the 100 fly and, you know, in the 200 fly. Bryce Keblish almost scored. Brendan Casey almost scored. We had a lot of guys finishing that 17th to 20th range just out of the top 16 to score some points. And so going into this year, you hope they can step up and take that the next step into a scoring position. You know, Brendan just, he had a great year last year. And had a good NCAAs, but, you know, he really, you know, was a huge leader for us. And again, just like our women, those guys took that step forward. You know, every year we kind of think if you qualify for NCAAs the first year and don't score, the next step is qualifying and then scoring. And then if you, like Emma Seiberlich and Abby Richter, who didn't score their first year, scored their second year, and now they scored in the bottom eight, now take that step to the top eight. And so our guys did that as well. And, you know, but that senior leadership from a performance perspective, it really carried us through that competition.
I know in interviews I've done with male swimmers here recently, they're all very aware of the tradition of the program on the men's side. They were very aware that the women had kind of pulled away and, you know, they very much wanted to close that gap and kind of get Virginia men's swimming back to where it had been. Mm-hmm. Was this a particularly motivated group? I don't know if that stuff goes through their mind when they're in the water, but leading up to it,
absolutely.
It seems to be.
Yeah, absolutely. And there's a lot of motivation for them, and that's one of them, you know, to close that gap between the men's and the women's team. And, you know, I think it's a healthy competition. Yeah. You know, one of the guys, Cooper Wozencraft, said to me the first event's the 800 free relay, and that's been an event our women have dominated at the ACC championship for the last 10 to 15
years.
And you know, they've always scored at that event at NCAAs. And our men go in and have a significant drop, break our program record, and get finished eighth place, which is a tremendous feat for them. After last year, they didn't score top 16. And Cooper Wozencraft said to me, "We just scored higher than the girls did in that relay." so it's on their mind, certainly.
Yeah. What about the state of UVA diving? Mm-hmm. Drew Livingston just finished his first season here. It seemed from the outside looking in that things are really headed in a promising direction. I know you were down one of your best divers on the women's side, right?
Right.
Sydney,
yep.
But how do things look for diving?
Really good. I mean, Drew, the kids love him. They like the way he coaches. They like, you know, they have a great relationship with him, and they communicate really well with him, which is obviously pretty imperative to the coaching athlete relationship. And he's a really good coach. He knows what he's doing. All the kids, you know, performed at a very high level this year. And, you know, we're fairly young on that side of things as well. So we only graduate one diver out of the 10 that we have, or two divers out of the 10 that we have. So, and we've got some great talent coming in next year. So I think that, you know, they were a big boost for us this year. You know, for, you know, on the men's side, we scored 19 points at ACCs in diving last year. This year, we scored more than that on the first event.
Wow.
So, you know, and that's only going to continue to improve with Drew and with the divers.
You were a highly regarded assistant coach at NC State before you came to UVA.
To some, maybe.
Yeah. In the summer of 2017, you have talented assistants on your staff here. Tyler Fenwick's your associate head coach. Wes, Blair, Andrew, Drew is your diving coach. As you have success as a program, does it become challenging to keep those guys?
Because
everyone's looking for
absolutely
for coaches.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I think it says a lot if our assistant coaches are trying to get picked off from other programs, because obviously that means we're doing a good job and that they're well respected and they're doing a good job. And I fully expect that, and it's already happened. You know, they're getting contacted by programs to take another step. You know, so you know, my goal, I want that to happen, but obviously I want them to stay here. So my goal is to, you know, treat them well, keep them happy, give them a lot of responsibility. You know, I don't micromanage them. I think they're having a great time. You know, one of my three things that I kind of try to live by, generally speaking, from a broad level, is work hard, have fun, stay out of trouble. And, you know, we're doing that as a staff. We're doing that as a program. And, you know, my staff is right now probably – obviously I'm biased, but I think it's one of, if not the best in the country. And, you know, we wouldn't be doing what we're doing without them. I mean, I'm not, you know, again, I'm not coaching everybody on the team. I mean, you know, I'm responsible for everybody on the team, but I have, you know, I let Tyler and Blair and Wes run their groups. They run their individuals. I stay out of their way. I advise them. I help them. Mm-hmm. I support them. And they do a fantastic job. And we wouldn't be where we are, you know. Wes directly coaches Megan Maroney, and she's had a phenomenal two seasons under him. Caroline Gamelick's with him as well. She's, you know, thrived in the program. Blair coaches directly Paige Madden, Abby Richter, Jen Markin last year. You know, her girls are, you know, and guys are, Zach Vong is with her, you know, directly oversees her. You know, Brendan Casey, Robbie Giller, Ted Schubert, Casey Storch are all with Tyler. So, you know, they're all very successful and doing a fantastic job. And I'm, you know, I'm happy they took the risk and came with me, you know, a year and a half ago.
My sense from what I see periodically on social media is that recruiting is going really well for you guys. How does, you have two, you know, strong classes coming in. How does next season look? Looking ahead for each program?
Recruiting, it's the Virginia effect, you know, the university – it just attracts great talent, you know, and that's been very helpful for us with a recruiting standpoint. Our recruiting classes this fall are, I would say, our women's class is arguably the top recruiting class in the country. If not, it's at least top three, and I would say the men are likewise at that level. So, you know, it's going to be a pretty big boost, and they're large classes. We have, I think, 9 women and 9 men coming in. They're pretty significantly large classes. But we're excited about them. You know, they're excited. Some are coming early in the summer, and you know they'll provide a pretty big boost. And obviously, a lot goes into a season, and it's a long season, and you got to stay healthy and everything. But if all goes well, it could be another fairly historic season for us.
Good. Well, I know there's no real off season for any coaches here, but is this a little, relatively speaking, downtime? Is this a recruiting period?
Recruiting never ends, and we recruit aggressively, and we work really hard at it, so it doesn't end. I would say if there's a down month, it's April and August.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's still busy.
Well, congratulations on a great second year. I know there's more to come. Thanks for coming over here.
Yeah.
For information on swimming and football and men's basketball and all our teams, check virginiasports.com. I'll be back next week with another podcast. Until then, thanks for listening, and go Hoos.